Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Do you know it is possible to gain the whole world and lose your soul? I'm not the one that said it. Jesus is the one that said it. That means the goal of Christianity is not just health and wealth. That means it's possible for a person who has not received Jesus to have all the money he needs and living in good health, perhaps have a good marriage, yet his soul is lost. And Jesus is the one that said, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, you are not wise. Oh my God. You know, sometimes when I study about eternity, it just dawns on me that there's a lot of people don't know. And like I was saying earlier on, I would have loved to just worship. But when I see how much people need to know, that's why we cannot ignore teaching. Are you with me? In fact, it is your teaching that will influence your worship. Your worship is the result of your revelation. In fact, your worship reveals your revelation. Your worship reveals how much you know. For some people, worship is just singing songs. For some others, worship is expressing who God is to them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, like I was saying, we learn about why Christianity is good. Good ground, part one. Good ground, part two. The incorruptible seed. Then we began this teaching on the inheritance. And in the first teaching, we talked about inheritance, part one, where we said we have inherited Christ's identity. Praise the Lord. Then we talked about inheritance, part two. Were you blessed on Sunday? Powerful service on Sunday. Let me tell you something. I have come to discover that until some things are repeated, you will never understand. You have to be hearing it again and again till the scales will fall off your eyes and you will embrace Christ for who he truly is. Praise the Lord. And today, we are going deeper and we've titled the service, Growing Up Spiritually. Glory! And want to emphasize the factors that make people grow spiritually. But before we do that, we need to ask the question, what does it mean to grow spiritually? And I want you to know that spiritual growth is only for those who are saved. Praise the Lord. Only those who are born again can grow spiritually. But what does it really mean to grow spiritually? To grow spiritually means to live in the reality of what Christ has done in your spirit. Let me go over that again. To grow spiritually means to live in the reality of what Christ has done in your spirit. Because let me tell you the truth, all the work of Christ is perfected in your spirit. Praise the Lord. Oh my God. I wish every one of you can take what I'm saying seriously. Every one of you following online, every one of you in this place, instrumentalists, everybody, take what I'm saying very serious. A person is said to be growing spiritually when he's steadily increasing in his experience of Christ. Let me go over everything I just said again. What does it mean to grow spiritually? It means to live in the reality of what Christ has done in your spirit. A person is said to grow spiritually or to be growing spiritually when he's steadily experiencing the reality of Christ, steadily increasing in his experience of Christ. You know, Galatians 4 verse 19 says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Galatians 4 verse 19, it says, my little children, can we read it on the screen? Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Now, for Apostle Paul to call these disciples my children, it means they were born again. We know that Paul never had any biological children, none that the Bible records. Are you with me? It means they were born again and they had believed in Jesus. Yet he was praying that Christ be formed in them. So what does this mean? It means that even though Christ is in you, Christ must be formed in you. Are you with me? He must grow to take up his form. Or you must grow, you must grow to take up the form of Christ. So Christ can be in you, but Christ is not formed in you. So the journey of spiritual growth is from Christ in you to Christ be formed in you. See what I mean? Journey of spiritual growth is from Christ in you to Christ being formed in you. Say it after me again. The journey of spiritual growth is from Christ in you to Christ being formed in you. I cannot hear your voice. Make it louder. The journey of spiritual growth is from Christ in you to Christ being formed in you. Glory! This is very serious because, see, the work of Christ is perfected in your spirit, man. Everything we have been talking about, In him, we have redemption through his blood. In him, we have consistent victory. In him, we are new creatures. In him, we are this. All of that is perfected in your spirit. When you got born again, your body did not change. Your skin color did not change. Your skin tone did not change. But your spirit man changed. Now, spiritual growth is when what Christ has done in your spirit man becomes outwardly expressed in every area of your life. Are you with me? When what Christ has done, your spirit man becomes your experiential reality. This is very serious though, because there are many people who say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and they are living in sin. And they are using that to defend their sin. No! God has made you his righteousness in the spirit. The righteousness of God that you are in the spirit must become your experience outwardly. Are you with me? That's the point. What God has done inside must come out. And if it's not coming out, you are not growing spiritually. It's proof that you are not growing. Praise the Lord. It is growth that makes all the difference. So spiritual growth is when what God has done in your spirit becomes your experiential reality. That's why we said it means to live in the reality of what Christ has done in your spirit. Say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? We all have grown spiritually in the wrong side. I'm telling you. When Adam and Eve were created, the Bible says they were both naked and not ashamed. Now, how come? Do you realize that in the Garden of Eden, there were so many things that were happening that we take for granted? Do you realize that Adam never prayed to hear God? The Bible says Adam was in the garden and he heard the voice of God coming to the garden. And God spoke, yet Adam heard and replied. God spoke, Adam heard and replied. Even after they sinned, God spoke and Adam heard and replied. Have you ever thought about that? After Adam and Eve left the garden and they had Cain and Abel, do you know that Cain killed Abel and was able to hear God? Oh my God. What does that tell you? It means that, but you see, over time, things began to change. It was as though in the time of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, God's reality and man's reality were so synced together that it was difficult to tell the difference. I wish people caught what I just said. It was as though in Adam and Eve's era, Cain and Abel's era, it was as though God's reality and man's reality were so fused together, it was difficult to separate it. And that's what God wants us to live in. Do you remember that when Adam and Eve became naked, they now had to, it was there it dawned on them that they were naked and they now had to make fig leaves. So now, Adam that was living in his spirit and his nakedness did not mean anything. Now, he had to now begin to train himself in the way of carnality to start taking care of the physical. Are you with me? Because what happened was this. After Adam and Eve sinned against God, their spirit man had become born in darkness. So they now had to train their mind to live in the reality of darkness. So now, when God accepts Abel's sacrifice and refuses Cain's sacrifice, the nature of darkness says kill, revenge. And so, in Cain's mind, I'm losing. So, what will I do? To grow in darkness, you fight, you kill. But now in Christ, when somebody seems like he's doing better than you, no, you don't envy. You are not jealous. Instead, you put your trust in God. Are you with me? It's a training. It's the reverse. So, the world is where it is because people grew spiritually in darkness. It is a culture of darkness in their spirit man that has been made manifest experientially. In the same way, when you get born again, the culture of Christ in your spirit man must be brought experientially. Do you understand this? Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. The ministry of the church is very serious. When you understand it, you won't play with evangelism. You won't play with inviting people. You know, I was inviting some people in our estate to church. They work at the security post. Like, I think they are part of a security firm and they employ them to mount the gates. All dressed up, they even had guns with them. And I was preaching to them. Some ladies, some guys. And one lady said, so, why should we leave Lokogoma and come to church? I said, don't worry. We'll get you a transport. We'll arrange transport to carry you. She said, wait. I never see this one before. A church will arrange transport. See, people have plenty of money. I said, amen. She said, why? are you stressing yourself to carry people? I said, if your family member was kidnapped and they say bring 2 million, I bet you, if the family cares about that person, I'm telling you, at least they will raise 1 million. They will look for a way. You know why? They care about the person's life. In the same way, if you care about your soul, are you with me? If we care about the souls of people, we will do everything to get them to come and hear. Praise the Lord. No service is a waste of time. Your soul. Your soul. And so there are many people who are still in darkness and they are still living under the culture of darkness. They've grown. They have matured in darkness. What we see in the world is a display of maturity, spiritual maturity in darkness. A display of darkness that has gone haywire. In the same way, God wants his culture and your spirit to explode. Ephesians 4 verse 11. Ephesians 4 verse 11. The Bible says, and he gave some apostles. We're going to read till like verse 16, verse 17. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are not closing. Amen. Glory. Verse 14, everybody now. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Read on. You see that? But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him. So we grow up into him. Are you seeing this? So we are growing up to take his form. Are you with me? So Christ has entered you, but you must grow up and match up with the stature of Christ. Read on. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined and compacted by that which every joint supplied. So he's saying that the body of Christ will grow and it is compacted by that which every joint supplies. That's actually an emphasis in spiritual growth too. He's saying that one of the signs that you have grown spiritually is that you will now find your place and your contribution to the body. Are you with me? We'll get to that. If you have not gotten to the point where you are now supplying to the body, you have not grown. So he's saying that from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Are you seeing this? I did a teaching some years ago. I'm a supplying joint. I supply to the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. By that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. What does that mean? So he's saying that you will supply according to the effectual working in every part. So it is what God has worked inside of you that you will be able to give out. So you will supply according to the working, according to the effectual working. So what God has done in you that is effective and effectual is what you will carry and supply also. Are you seeing this? According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Glory. Now see verse 17. It says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Verse 18, read on. Through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. Jesus. Save them, ye have learned Christ. Every service we come to learn Christ. There is so much to teach about that. But let me go back to verse 11. Let me start from verse 11. It says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Are you seeing this? You know, I and Pastor Ekene and our family were listening to something before coming for service. And somebody said, when I was growing up in the faith, I didn't used to hear, there was nothing like pastors. We're just brothers. My brother, my sister. I said, that's wrong. There must be a discipler. No, even we are all brothers in Christ, but who is the pastor? Who is the pastor there? Who is discipling us? Who is the one showing us that there is more in God and breaking down the word of God for us to see? Let me tell you something. Nobody is bigger than this. Every child of God you must have a pastor. No matter how great a man of God you are, even if you get to the point where all your pastors, they are no longer pastoring you, at least you are pastored. You must be pastored. Are you with me? There is nobody who was just born with knowledge of God. We all grew. Somebody taught somebody. Are you with me? You must be pastored. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfection of the saints. Now, that verse got to me. For the perfection of the saints. Perfecting saints. You know, the word saint connotes people who are already perfect. That's why in some denominations, they call people saints after they've died and gone to heaven. So they say Saint Mulumba. They call people saints who have died and gone to heaven. They say Saint Mary. But the Bible's view is quite different. He's saying, for the perfecting of the saints. Now, he's calling the saints that they need perfection. Is that not interesting? Read it again. Let's read it. Ephesians 4 from verse 11 to 12. For the perfection of the saints. Are you seeing this? For the perfection of the saints. That verse got me. That's why I'm making you pause there. For the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. Now, this means that the saints are not yet perfect. Because they did not become saints based on anything they did. We became saints because we are in Christ. Are you with me? So, because of Christ, we are called saints. But you see, what Christ has done in our spirit, He has made us saints in our spirit. It must become our expression openly. Are you seeing this? So even though we are saints in the spirit, we must become saints physically and experientially. That journey is called spiritual growth. From what Christ has done inside to be your experience outside. You know, when you study the Bible, you realize that it was not Christ that called us Christians. It was the world that called us Christians. And some years ago, I used to say this, even though I don't say it so much right now. I used to say, there's a difference between being born again and being a Christian. To be born again means you have believed in Jesus Christ. You have surrendered your heart to the Lord Jesus. You have said, Lord, I trust you for my salvation. I believe you are the way of salvation. You are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. And I've surrendered to you. I've put my trust in you for salvation. Are you with me? And when you do that, God gives you his Holy Spirit. And you become awakened to the fatherhood of God. And you are born anew. Are you with me? It's as though the seed of the word of God has given birth to a new person. Which is called the born again Christian. Or the born again believer. Are you with me? It's just like my baby being born. As a newborn baby. A baby is not a woman. She may be a female but not a woman. For her to be a woman, she must have matured in her womb. To be a womb man. Are you with me? To be able to carry. Are you with me? So in the same way, for you to be a Christian, the work of the Holy Spirit must have made you mature. You must have partnered with God and matured in the faith so that other people can see the life of Christ in you and say you are a Christian. In the same way, the church was not called Christians at the day they believed. It was after a while of them receiving the Holy Ghost and maturing and growing in God till other people could see the life of Christ visibly and said these are Christians. Because we are seeing the life of Christ continuing in them. Are you with me? This is spiritual growth. The work of God in your spirit being made manifest openly. Hallelujah. So let's look at something in verse 13. So read from verse 12 again to verse 13. And I want to show you seven signs of spiritual growth. It says, Ephesians 4 from verse 11. Let's read from verse 11 to verse 13. Or just read to the end. Are you with me? Is very important what I'm saying. Jesus gave a parable and said, Jesus, Kapatalia. He gave a parable and said that a master of the household began work on the field. He said he called some by 8 a.m. in the morning and they went. He called some by 12 noon and they went. He called some by 3 and they went. He called some by 6 and they went. He called another one and that one said, I will go but refused to go. He now said, which one was better? Is it the one that said, I will go and did not go? And the one that said, I will not go but eventually went. He now even said, at the end of the day, the people that, after that, after the whole work, Do you know that he gave everybody the same amount of reward? Then the people that came earlier said, why are you giving them the same amount of reward? Even though we are born the son of the day. He said, is it not my choice? Are you seeing what I'm saying? He said, is it not my choice? You know, said, will I now be evil? Because you don't see it that way. We agreed one penny. That means, see, God prefers the one who eventually came than the one who did not come at all. What I'm saying is serious. So you will see people, somebody on Sunday, I message somebody, why didn't you come for service? He said, I woke up by 10. Before I would have come, say, you are joking. So what did you do? He said, I just went to eat and slept. The Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He that comes to God, you must believe you are dealing with God. Hi, Jesus Christ. Imagine President Tinubu sends for you, and you're supposed to be there by 10 o'clock. And then somehow, you prepare though. Then 9 o'clock, you say, let me just rest more. And you woke up by 10:30, what will you do? No, you say, I will not go again. I'm not going to go again, you know. Why will you go? You will still go and say, let me try and enter. You know why? Because you know you're dealing with the president. How much more God? He must believe that he is. He may even get there and discover that he forgot that he promised you that time. It's when he now sees you, he'll remember that it's true, we had an appointment. Then he will say, you came very early. But no, let me tell you something. People are too careless. They're careless with their spiritual lives. And when they are careless, after a while, shall I say this one? After a while, their progress in the spirit will be stunted. The Bible says that we should honor, if you study 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that women should have power on their heads because of the angels. Meaning, actually, the context there, I don't have time to go into to explain everything, but the context there is angels will respond to you the way you respond to authority, the way you respond to God. After a while, that's why people will say things like, I prayed about this thing, it did not happen, but that pastor prayed and it happened. Because a time now comes in your walk with God where God now is not dealing with you based on dealings. The dealings he has with a man, he will say, I remembered Lot for Abraham's sake. Yes, so what did Lot do? What did Abraham do that made God remember his relation because of him? So you can build a track record with God where God will remember people who are connected to you, not because of them, but because of you. Let me tell you something. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, there are basics. There are the basics of the Lord, and they are advanced. Many people are trying to learn advanced. They have not learned basics. Basics like faithfulness. Jesus. Faithfulness. For every one of you that came, the Lord bless you. Oh, the Lord bless you. You do not waste your time. The Lord bless you. For every one of you following online, the Lord bless you. In the name of Jesus. Faithfulness is a thing. God will, do you know that? God will even instruct, if you study the Old Testament, that the time came where God started instructing them where to pray. A time came, Abraham prayed on a certain place so much that his third generation came and mistakenly slept there and had an encounter. You have not heard some stories. You see, we say, I was about to enter this challenge, or I was in this deep challenge, and all of a sudden God rescued me. I've heard people say things that when they were rescued like that, they had encounters. The angel said, your mother, your mother was praying at this time every day for 10 years. You see, they will say, you will hear things like this. Your father had been giving tithe for the last 20 years. Even if it's 200 naira, you will find 20 naira and give. Just give up. It's not about whether it's that New Testament or Old Testament. That faithfulness, that thing, that faithful stewardship, you are there in season, out of season. A minister was speaking to me, saying that start of ministry, that the church is not as big as they have expected it to be, so they want to take a break from the church for 3 Sundays. I said, no. That's not how to do it. No. The Bible said in Leviticus that the priest brings wood to the altar every morning and evening, whether the people show up or not. Whether they are there, your own is to burn incense there. That's how all this is a mo. They will go to that shrine morning and evening, and you want to be doing this kalo kalo Christianity and combat them? He that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. Somebody posted something last year during my birthday. He said, if consistency is a word, David. If consistency is a human being, they say that guy. They went out to do evangelism. I ran into somebody in Kabusa. I said, this guy has been preaching like this since secondary school. Since secondary school, he has been preaching like this. Fair question. How did the Lord bless you? So, seven things or seven signs of spiritual growth. The first three are related. Let's go through it again. So we're going to read Ephesians 4 verse 11 and we'll just pick them out before we end this service. Ephesians 4 verse 11 to the end will have impasted in your mind. It says, and he gives some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, everybody, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Pause. So now it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. The better rendering there is, till we all come in the unanimity of the faith. One sign that you have grown spiritually is definite conviction. Now, this unity of the faith is not just even referring to us individually. It's talking about the body of Christ. We are growing when we are now saying the same thing. People have thought unity of the faith means we all gather and become one church. No, it is we are saying the same thing. Meaning, when you call these two believers, what do you believe on tongues? What do you believe on tongues? The same thing. You know you are growing spiritually when on subject of the Bible, your conviction has become definite. This is what the Bible says on tongues. This is what the Bible says on faith. This is what the Bible says on holiness. This is what the Bible says on the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Definite conviction. Praise the Lord. Some people, they will go for a meeting. 15 different speakers are saying the 15 different things and they are all blessed by the 15 of them. It's not love work. It's childishness. The 15 are opposite things. It's not maturity. You are confused. People are quiet. Say, Pastor. Laboria Cassandos. Are you ready to grow?
Yes, sir.
If you are ready to grow, shout glory. Definite convictions in God. The next one, solid experiential knowledge of Christ. So he says, for the perfecting of the saints, to welcome the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. The word knowledge there is epignosis. So the knowledge is not just mental knowledge, it's revelation knowledge. When you are coming into that experiential knowledge of Christ, so you can be hearing about leading of the Spirit, leading of the Spirit, leading of the Spirit. When you now begin to experience it, you are coming to the epignosis of it. Are you following me? You know, I was teaching about leading of the Spirit 2 years ago, and a dear daughter in the service, do maybe after the service, she's a very, very pragmatic lady. She's like Jennifer. Fair, tall. The only difference is the glasses. Praise the Lord. And so I asked after the service, do you understand what I taught? She was like, Pastor, I don't understand. Shut up, she will tell me, I don't understand. I said, okay, just be listening, you will soon get it. So one day, after the service, she met me and said, I understand it now. I said, what happened? She said, I was at my workplace and somebody wanted to submit something and I was supposed to stamp it and sign, but I felt something within me saying no. But that's what I've been doing every time. You've heard me share that testimony, right? And I just knew that, no. But I signed it anyway. Some hours later, my boss came and said, who signed this thing? I said, I was the one. He said, let's hear it now. You would have put this whole company in trouble. That was a fraud. She was like, oh, is that why I was feeling that way? You see what was happening to her? Now she's able to connect what she has heard logically. Are you with me? And what she's knowing experientially. That thing that just happened to her is called growth. So, we come in the unanimity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So now, Christ can now minister to her directions and she will be able to pick it. Because she has come into an experiential knowledge. Are you following this? One time again. Great. You know, it's good as a pastor. One of the things I love is when I can zero in on a disciple. One time, when I was trying to pray for her to speak in tongues, so she began to pray in tongues. And one day she asked me a question. Pastor, how can somebody just pray in tongues for 1 hour? I said, well, that's a very interesting question. How will I answer that question? I didn't know what to tell her. I said, you just pray, you pray in tongues. Just keep praying in tongues. I said, no, how can I just be praying in tongues like that for 1 hour? I said, well, pray. She said, Pastor, I don't understand. If you're going So one day, I said, I know what I'll do. I said, after service, come to my office, let us pray. So she came, we started praying. Prayed. After a while, on her own, I saw her doing like this. I'm sweating. So at the point, I stopped. And she was still praying. And I was like, interesting. And I said, in Jesus' name. She said, amen. And I asked her, she had prayed in tongues. As at that time, she had prayed in tongues 1 hour, 10 minutes. And I asked her, so how do you pray in tongues for 1 hour, 30 minutes? She said, it flows. You see, she was able to now give expression to that thing that she was like, what's happening? Now she can teach it. He said, it flows. So Christ now is beginning to have expression in her life. Experiential knowledge. Praise the Lord. Someone said, how did God speak to you? No. Well, we picked it. As we prayed in the spirit, many of you, that's happened to you. You are praying in tongues, you started seeing people's faces. You started remembering things. It's as if it's just joining together. You see, that thing that's happening to you, you are growing, you are being able to pick what is happening. Praise the Lord. So number one is definite convictions. Number two, solid experiential knowledge of Christ. So he says, to welcome the unity of the faith and of knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's where we got our benediction from. Glory. So, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the fullness of Christ actually has a stature. There is the way it looks. But we are in different measures. Are you following this? The fullness of Christ has a stature. There is a way it ought to look like. But we are in different measures. Some people, they are here. Some people, then they are higher. Are you following this? So God's plan is that our measure of the stature. So Christ is the benchmark. And from the stature of Christ, we can get ourselves and see our stature. Praise the Lord. So the first one is definite convictions in God, solid experiential knowledge of Christ. Then the third one, see verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. Anything can convince you. Yeah, on the road, one man just meets you and say, your name is this. Yeah, you have three chains in your bag. The color of your boxers is blue. And you say, hey, I've seen a prophet, oh, and they follow you. Like that. Some people are just tossed to and fro. Anything can convince them. It's childishness. Babies. It's not a sin to be a baby, but it's a sin to remain a baby. When you go to church, say, I'll go. Carry your bag and go. Definite convictions. And then now, establishment. This one is called establishment. The third one, establishment. You are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Then the next one, he says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So now, the next one is, you have a sharpened discernment. Sharpened spiritual discernment. You can discern your spirit. God is there. God is not there. You are no longer prone to deception. Then he says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. That's the next thing. Effectiveness in the work of the ministry. So now, you know, we know you are growing when you're not just having definite convictions or experiential knowledge of God and sharpened discernment or establishment. Now you are also contributing to the work of God. We can see you may not be a pastor carrying the mic, but you are committed in the house of God. You are playing your part. Are you with me? We're going to come to this later. Then number six, solid walk in love. Solid work of love. And number seven, dexterity of character and purity. And you see that emphasizing from verse 17 to verse 20, where it says, "This I say that the Lord Jesus, do not walk as the Gentiles walk." So let me go over the seven things that mark spiritual growth. Number one, definite convictions in God, solid experiential knowledge of Christ, establishment in the faith, so you are not tossed about, you are not easily deceived. Sharpen spiritual discernment, effectiveness in the work of the ministry, solid work of love, dexterity of character, and purity. Very important. He says, "This I say then, you don't walk after the Gentiles, because they have given themselves to lasciviousness, being past feeling, but we have not to learn Christ." If you see anybody who claims to be a spiritual juggernaut, and is hugging sin, I'm looking for the word to use and yab him. Praise the Lord. So, what are the factors to make these things possible? Because of our time, I'll just list them out. There are four factors that make for spiritual growth. Number one, food. Number two, water. Now, I'm not talking about normal food, physical food. I'm talking about spiritual food. Amen. Number three, the right environment. And number four, exercise. These four things will make you have these seven things. These four will help you experience these seven things we talked about earlier. Spiritual food refers to the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 2 to 3. "As newborn babies are the sincere milk of the word of God, that ye may grow thereby." Eat the word of God. The sincere milk of the word of God. Water refers to prayers and the organic work of the Spirit. Anything that increases the work of the Spirit in your life refers to the water. As we are worshiping like this, some of you can feel that refreshing of the Spirit, right? Glory! Glory. Father, we thank you. Glory to your name.